Way back when I was thinking about starting a high-ticket dropshipping business, the one thing I was looking for was someone to show me what one of these sites looks like. So John and I have done that for you at dropshipbreakthrough.com/go. So head to dropshipbreakthrough.com/go and watch the free training.
SEO has so much more, like when you dig into it and you get curious, it has so many more layers to it, so many more ways that you can learn about your customer and what they want, what they're interested in, and how you can serve them that you don't really get with any other kind of traffic source.
Welcome to the Dropship Podcast, where you'll learn how to build and grow a high-ticket dropshipping business and hear stories from successful e-commerce entrepreneurs. Let's kick this thing off. Hey, welcome to the Dropship Podcast. And today I'm going to name off the top five apps and tools I use for SEO. Thank you, Luan, from our private community for asking this question. I'm going to dive right in, John. I think the number one tool you can use for SEO is literally Google.com. And I know that sounds like ridiculous, but there is so much you can do just sitting on Google and like using the search bar and stumbling onto really cool things just by like typing in a word and then space and that letter A, or a word, space, the letter B, and go through every letter, or two words and put an asterisk in between them, or an asterisk at the beginning, or an asterisk at the end, and just let Google autofill things for you. Now, when it guesses a couple words at the end, that's not good. But when it gives you full strings, those are gold, right? And You might be in your favorite tool where that says zero search volume. I promise you there's not zero search volume if Google is like showing you that this is a search. A lot of people look at me funny when I say Google.com as like an answer, but honestly, this is like Google's just giving you the answers if you're willing to sit there and you know, mess around for a little while.
Yeah, I think one of the things I like about you and your approach to SEO, and certainly when you talk about it, you can see how passionate you are about it, is like you've got to bring a sense of curiosity to it, right? Like, and I think that's the bit people miss. I think people think that SEO is this big complex thing, and it sounds like that from when you're from the outside. And so then there must be all these tools to help you do it, and they must do all these complicated things. And really, I think what you just like, oftentimes the answers about what you need to do and what you need to target and all of that, they're kind of right in front of you. But you've got to have the curiosity, like, and even just what you talked about there, just like sitting on Google and typing different things and putting a verse, putting an asterisk, putting a, you know, whatever it might be, like best, you know, and just seeing what Google autofills. I think that to some people is just going to be mind-blowing, doing something as simple as that. Like people, like that's just about being curious, just seeing what's there and playing around. That's something you taught me to do a while ago now, right? And I do that now. Like I'll sit there and play around with things. I don't think I ever did that to the extent that you do it either.
If you're listening in and you'd like to take the first steps towards building your own high-ticket dropshipping business, head to dropshipbreakthrough.com/go, where we've got a free training waiting for you that's going to walk you through the first steps you need to take to start your own high-ticket dropshipping business. And I'm going to walk you through an actual example of what one of these businesses looks like.
I think curious is the right word. Like, you should be curious on who you're serving, and you should want to know everything you possibly can about them. And what better way to do that than like go guess what they might be searching or stumble into it through one of the later tools we'll talk about here. And look, I want to supercharge this, right? So you're on Google. Now go download the Keywords Everywhere Chrome extension. That would be app number two, that are really the only app I use, I believe, if you want to call it an app. It's a Chrome extension, and it will give you a whole bunch of extra keywords on the right-hand side. So now you're searching what you think is right. They're going to show you a whole bunch of stuff that either should be included on its page or might need to be part of a cluster, if you will, of content around a certain topic. But it's just going to help you expand your mind. And bonus tip, like you get SEO Minion with that as well. SEO Minion can then go to the little people also ask section. So you search something, there's probably an ad, probably some organic results, and then the box of like questions you might have around said topic that people search on Google. If you hit the little button in SEO Minion, it will download all of the layers for you. And what I mean by layers is if you go there, you'll see 3-4 questions normally. If you hit one of those, it will open and answer your question, and then it'll add two more. And if you open another one, it'll add two more. And so what SEO Minion will do for you is click that 8 layers deep, which will take about 7 hours to download. You don't need to go that far, but you can do as many layers as you want to, and it will pull all of those out into a spreadsheet for you. That's that tool, I think, for it's like $3 a month, something like that, is probably the most valuable tool I use. Just mixing that with Google.com and being able to do this manually. And I can hear some people listening to this saying, ah, man, you can just use this tool and pull all that data. I promise you, I've worked with a lot of agencies who do that, and it's not quite right. And I don't think you really understand the person you're serving by the time you're done with that. And that's what's really important to me. So I don't want to just find the keyword. I also want to understand the intent behind it. I want to understand the person behind the screen, why they're searching that, so that when I build this piece of content, I actually talk directly to that human and can give them exactly what they're looking for on that page so that it converts into a sale. Like, I'm not out here just to get some traffic and run some Google AdSense. We're running an e-commerce business. Eventually, we want to help people solve their problems, which inevitably leads them to a sale.
Mm.
Yeah. Do you use the SEO Minion like people also ask thing?
Not as much. No. I mean, to me, that's, you know, hearing you say that, like, I mean, no, I don't use it that much. I've got it. Yep. And I do far less direct SEO than you do, because you're like now my SEO guy. So I don't have to.
It's fun, man.
Yeah, yeah. No, it's super fun. I mean, the thing I like, that's what I love about SEO as opposed to, I mean, you get this a little bit with Google Ads, but like, and you know, thinking about search terms in Google Ads, but SEO has so much more, like when you dig into it and you get curious, it has so many more layers to it and so many more, yeah, like you said, like so many more ways that you can learn about your customer and what they want and what they're interested in and how you can serve them that you don't really get with any other kind of traffic source. I think it's a lot more fun because of that. If you can get your head into it. I know there's going to be people who are listening to this. This is just kind of like going in one ear out the other, because they just can't conceptualize what you're doing. So, I mean, I'll plug it right here. Ben does all of this stuff on camera and shows you how to do it in Dropship Breakthrough. So, I mean, if you hear about this SEO stuff and you're like, I'd love to learn and see on a screen, like there's literally hours of Ben doing this in Dropship Breakthrough, like step by step, over the shoulder. You see it all, how he uses all of these tools exactly with examples. You need to go and join dropshipbreakthrough.com/join. Get in there, get access to it. And, you know, it takes it to another level when you can see somebody actually doing it. It would take far too long to demonstrate on a podcast, but it's all there. You can get access to it. What's number three, Benny?
Well, I love, thank you for saying how great I am. I appreciate that. My ego appreciates that. I do teach this literally using Google, then using Keywords Everywhere with Google, and then using this next tool, Answer the Public. So if you've never used Answer the Public, go try it today. I think you get 3 searches for free per day or something like that. Answerthepublic.com. Simply put in the product type you sell. So if you sell e-bikes, God forbid you sell e-bikes, put e-bikes in there. If you sell saunas, infrared saunas, traditional saunas, barrel saunas, whatever it is, like go put your product type in there and just hit go. And 10 seconds later, you will have all of the questions that that tool can find on Google that people are asking about your product. And a lot of these are going to be the same. You might, if you're in a heavily searched industry, you might get 500 to 1,000 results. You could probably take that 500 or 1,000 and cut it in half just by simply removing some of the duplicates that are in there. And then a lot of them are actually the same question. They're just kind of set a different way. But you should be able to pull out dozens, if not hundreds of questions that your customers want answered. And likely that is like your roadmap for creating blog posts for the next however long it takes you to get it done, right? Might be a year, might be a couple of years. All of those can be kind of clustered into topics as well, so that you can kind of work on one topic or another. But people are asking questions. And so like, if you're wondering what SEO is, it's like simply ranking in Google. You're getting a page that serves the customer's intent when they search the keyword on Google. And often it is a question people want an answer to when they go to Google. And as they're thinking about which product do they want, which product is best, comparing products, understanding how a product works, what should I be thinking about when I purchase this product, all of those things have answers. That's your job as an e-commerce store owner to answer that. This is our edge against Amazon, against Wayfair, against all of the big businesses where you think only people shop at. They don't answer these questions. You can't call somebody and answer these questions. So you likely know the answers to most of these questions based on the customer service you've been doing in your business. So these articles should be a breeze for you to outline what they need to look like, do the keyword research, record a little video answering the answer to the question, and send that off to a writer who can do the work for you here and get these articles done. So I love Answer the Public. Not a big Neil Patel fan. I think I've said that on the podcast before. He did purchase this product. It's got his face all over it, which I think is super weird. I don't dislike the guy. I don't know. Something about him rubs me the wrong way. I know you're a Neil Patel guy. Are you thrilled that this is part of the big Neil Patel suite?
Yeah, I don't know that I'm a Neil Patel guy as such. I mean, I did follow him more, I think, in years past when I was learning, you know, like along with guys like Brian Dean and, you know, some of those kind of OG search marketers. I think Neil's done a lot of good things that I can admire, probably is more like in terms of how he's built his brand and all of that sort of thing. Like, you know, his approach to content going back a few years now, like, I mean, he's like one of the original guys that was just putting out like lots of content, like, you know, like people hold up Alex Hormozy today sort of thing. In the marketing space, Neil Patel was kind of that guy going back a few years, I think. Good stuff there. A lot of stuff that's not relevant for what we do at all, to be honest, you know, in high ticket drop shipping for sure. But, he's known as an SEO guy, kind of smart to go out and buy some SEO tools.
Sure.
Put your face on him. Like, I mean, he's a super interesting guy. Makes sense.
He's a super interesting guy too. If you go back and look for, he was on the My First Million podcast and they talked about how his monthly burn is 250K, and they kind of geek out over like all the shit he spends his money on each month. And if you're into like wanting to know who he is, or even if you don't, and you just want to know how somebody could spend 250K a month, that episode's very, very good. So I would check that out. Want to move on.
Yep.
The fourth tool that I have. So we got Google, keywords everywhere / SEO minion, answer the public. And I didn't have this in the list and I typed it while we were talking, John. I think my next tool is honestly go into your Google shopping ads and look at your keywords. That will tell you more information about your customer than you can find almost anywhere else. So the first thing you'll notice is that 90%+ of Americans are really fucking dumb. They can't spell and they search like fractions of sentences. Why blah blah blah, like things that don't make sense whatsoever. Once you get past that, 90% of Americans are dumb, you will be like, oh holy shit, why were they searching it this way, or why did they ask the question this way, or how I didn't know people look for a product this way. You will just find so much gold in your Google shopping ads. And again, you should be running these. This is the first thing you should be doing in a high ticket drop shipping business, is running Google ads. Now go look in your high priority campaign and just go look at all the keywords. I'm going to tell you right now, you're going to get frustrated and you're going to try to block all these keywords that I'm spending all this money on. Fuck that off. Like, don't spend any time wasting anything. Like, lower your bids in high if that's what you're worried about. But go in, you will find so much gold in your high priority campaign. Then move to your medium where you're kind of pushing brand name things or product type things there, things that are a little more valuable to you. And you will start seeing long tails in there that you're like, holy shit, I would have never thought of this. I would have never thought of that. And when you can go find those keywords, they might be their own page. They might be supporting keywords you need to get on your product pages. Like, you might find a long tail that converted and then realize that phrase is literally not even on your product page. And if you simply put it on there, you might show up for it organically as well, which would drive even more business to your product pages. But Google Shopping Ads is a plethora of information. And, you know, it does take time for that information to come in. You can pay for it. You can go spend a whole bunch of money and Google will give you all the data in the world if you want to. Not always the data you want, but I love Google Shopping Ads for this. I know you just did this for one of our partners, John. You exported a bunch of terms out of there for one of the ladies we're working with as partners. And the information's invaluable. And you just find I'm obsessed with four keywords. So your collection pages are like product type for blank, for use case. And almost every industry, there is a for or an adjective product type, or like, use case product type, if you will, or type product type, if you will, or size product type, things like that. But the four ones are so interesting for me because it tells you exactly who you're talking to. So we found one that was like so obscure, like our product, and it was for like maple syrup or something like that. And I was like, who the hell's using this? What? And then we like dug in and like, there's a whole community of people who use this product you would never think is for this, for maple syrup. And then we found a ton of others and you pulled a bunch out of Google shopping ads. Like, it turns out there's all of these like very long tail niche keywords that no one's attacking, right? Like, if you just had your product type for sale collection page, number one, you're never going to rank. Two, like, those people might never find you. But if you have product type for maple syrup and you found these people and you write a page that talks directly to these people who are using it for this use case, there's a good chance you're going to turn a lot of those people into customers. There's a good chance you're going to rank number one for it because it's a pretty obscure keyword that most people aren't finding. And so I love Google shopping ads for this. Like, what do you pull out of that? Like, again, I know John hates Americans more than most Americans. So like he realizes that the search terms in there are hilarious for his own reasons. But what else do you get from Google shopping ads in terms of SEO?
Yeah, look, and I'll say Australians are the same. Like the way people type is different to the way they think, right? We abbreviate everything. Like, and you have to remember that when you look at search terms, you have to try and dig into, and this is something I encourage people to do. When you look at a search term, always think about what's the psychology behind that. Like, so people don't type questions when they have a question in their head often.
Mm.
So like sometimes you'll see a search term, and it's just like two words and you have to say, what is that person actually, what actually does that represent? And usually it's like they're saying, where can I find a blah, blah, blah? Or how can I do this? But they've just put like three words from that longer question in. Like people really truncate their what's going on in their head when they have to type it. And voice search is actually a little bit different again. So how people voice search, and this is becoming a bigger thing, right? Like, you know, there's actually variations on keywords that are more voice search specific. Because when people have to vocalize something, they put it in a slightly different way yet again to how they would actually type it on a keyboard, which is all very interesting and a bit nerdy. But Google Shopping, like you can get so much out of there. And I know people, when they're running ads, they focus very much on the outcomes from conversions and things like that. But as a learning exercise and seeing, yeah, where the keywords land in your niche and what type of keywords are out there. I love Google Shopping for discovering brands that didn't come up in my supplier research previously. Like the account you were talking about with the maple syrup stuff. I mean, one of the things we're pulling out of there is we're actually building a supplier list and discovering all of these supplies, because customers are looking for this brand that produces a product in the product category that we sell. We don't sell them. And so Google's showing our products for that brand. And you'll see this if you're on Google Shopping ads, because they're similar products and they're showing them somewhere further down the page. But we can see these brands come up and it's like, holy shit, these, we can go after those, right? And we know they've already got search volume. Like people are already specifically looking for those. So that's like immediately you're on the right track. Right now, yeah, some of them may not work out because they don't want to work with, do what we do or something like that. But you know, if I'm going to go after a supplier, I'd love to go after one that's got search volume behind it. Like I can immediately know that as soon as I put those products into ads, I'm going to be able to hit bottom of funnel type traffic and, you know, snag a few sales and get a bit of traction there pretty quickly, right? So using that, yep. And like I just pull out SEO keywords because there's a lot of traffic you get in Google Shopping that's not best served with a shopping ad. And so one of the little practices that I've started doing is I keep a spreadsheet, and this is a good little tip for anybody who's managing ads. I keep a spreadsheet of all of the terms that I exclude from my shopping ads because it's not relevant for sort of middle to bottom of the funnel, but I still want to serve in my business in some way. And the way you're going to serve that's via SEO. So yeah, like for all of the places where I'm adding negative keywords and knocking things out of shopping ads, I'm taking them and putting them in another list and thinking about, well, that's still relevant traffic. It's just further up the funnel. How can I go after that? How does that fit into my SEO strategy? How can I go and get those brands on board that I don't currently have, but I can see people are searching for? And I think that's a good little tip for anybody who's doing this. Like don't just discard like keywords that you knock out of your Google Shopping. You want to think about how you can serve them, because you'll see so many good SEO keywords in your search term reports for Google Shopping that, like, people who are searching, you know, best blah 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 for blah blah blah. It's like a shopping ad is not the right, so you should, anything that includes the word best, you should exclude from your shopping ads, right? Because you can't answer that question with one product page. That's not what that person's looking for. But you absolutely should go and try and rank a page for that. Absolutely. Like, and I think what people do is they'll negative keywords out and then they'll just forget about them. Mm-hmm. And I'd also say the other thing I think a lot of people probably think about when they listen to us talking about this stuff is like all of those, like people always bitch out when they see like low volume search terms. Like they're like, oh, I use these tools and the search volumes are like 10 or 20 or something like that. And it's like, man, you got to take that with a little bit of a grain of salt, and it doesn't really matter. Like somebody was like, oh, I was talking to a coaching client the other day, and we were looking at a keyword, and it had like maybe, I don't know, 200 search volume or something like that. So it looked, you know, not a big one. And they were like, oh, that's not worth it, is it? And I was like, no, let's think about this. Let's say you can get a page to rank for that. It was a fairly obscure term, right? So you, this person probably could get a page to rank number one for this search term, right? So that's 200 people, let's say, that are going to see your organic ranking. And let's say a bunch, like, you know, it's very specific. Let's say, you know, 50 of them click on your thing, right? And let's say 5 of those 50 buy something from you. And those sales are worth like $3,000 each. So are you saying you don't want to do a little bit of work to add, you know, $15,000 in additional revenue to your business? And it's like, okay. And then what if we find 10 of those keywords? And you do that 10 times. That's $150,000 revenue you've added to your business. Just by doing these practices and paying attention to those smaller volume kind of search terms that I think a lot of people honestly don't take your approach to those keywords, and they'll just be like, oh, the volume's too low. I'm going to go and focus on the bigger ones. Mm. And I think that's a massive mistake. And I think the second mistake people make is thinking that people are already hitting these keywords. And I got to say, like every time we look in high ticket niches, like it's just still so underserved.
Yeah.
Which is kind of wild, man. Like, it's not like SEO is new. It's been around for a while now. But in so many high-ticket niches, all of these little keywords we talk about, like, they are so underserved, man. They're just ripe for the picking in so many niches.
Yeah, not only do the, you know, 200s are worth your time, but I would say the zeros and the zero to 10s.
Yeah.
First off, they're never 0 to 10. That's not how it works. If you don't believe me, run a text ad on it. Send it to whatever page you want. You'll get a bad score and have to pay a lot real quickly if you're sending it to somewhere obscure. But go run it and go see how many times people actually search it. There's nothing better than running an ad to get real evidence of like what the real volume is. It's never 0 to 10. But if you look at those bot, like they're super bot, they're super specific bottom of the funnel keywords, and there's only 10 people searching them, but no one's serving it. I want to be the person to step in front of those 10 people and say, I can help you. yeah, I don't know. This is why I love SEO. There's gold everywhere, right? So fifth tool I want to talk to you about is paid, right? And that is Ahrefs. A-H-R-E-F-S, if you've never heard of it before. I don't use it. I probably use it 10% of what it's worth, if I'm honest with you. It is an extremely powerful tool, but you can track all of your stuff in there to get an idea of the inbound links that are coming your way. You'll quickly find out that you get a ton of crappy ones that you should be disavowing nowadays. but you can keep track of the good ones that are coming, which ones you've lost, what your top pages are, what keywords you're ranking for. One of my favorite couple ways to use it is, one, just looking at competitors. What are their top pages? What are their keywords? Where's that traffic going? You know, doing a gap analysis on their content versus my content. What do my competitors have that I don't have, so I can get out in front of this? What links do my competitors have? Mm. Like, if all three of my competitors have a link from the same site, I can go get a link from them pretty obviously. I should go to get that done. And then the other is, I actually saw it today in our Slack come up, is often you'll wonder why a page either isn't getting to number one, or it's like bouncing around and it's not getting close. And you don't really know why. And you'll pull it into Ahrefs and you can look at that keyword and see that Google is confused by three other pieces of content you have. And so your main page is bouncing and then another page is getting a try and you're kind of doing this dance. And if you didn't have the data to show you that, you would just like continue altering the page you're working on rather than go look at all four or five of these pages and understand why Google might want to rank one versus the other. But I'm only using this at like 10% its capacity. I know I am. It is super, super powerful. I wish I knew it better, if I'm honest with you. Anytime I go pay, you know, somebody smarter than me to show me around in SEO, like they're doing things with Ahrefs I've never even seen. But I want to say it's $100 a month. I think they just started a lower tier plan, if I'm correct. But you know, that's, I don't think you need that until you've done everything on Google, on Keywords Everywhere, on Answer the Public, looked in your Google Shopping ads. I don't even think you need Ahrefs until that point. But if there's any tool I'm going to recommend out of all of those tools that are paid, Ahrefs is probably going to be the one of them. Are you a fan of Ahrefs? Or are you more of like a, you know, they got quite a few competitors out there nowadays.
They do. No, Ahrefs would be the one for me. And you're right. I mean, there's some other competitors out there to them, and probably they're also going to get you a decent outcome in a lot of ways. I think, once again, I think most people's problem here is not the tool they use. It's actually doing it in the first place. Using any tool to do anything And if using any tool to do even, you know, half of what we're talking about here, you're going to be making massive progress over time. But yeah, Ahrefs, and yeah, I've used Ahrefs quite a bit over the years for like backlink research as well. I have some ways that I use it to help with backlink building. I know you referenced that. It's a very good tool. I like to use it for that too. Yep.
All right, I'll throw in some bonuses because we're in the world of AI. So here's a list of AI tools I use. John could probably even add to this, right? So Surfer, I'm a big fan of Surfer. You can kind of pull in the document you're working on. It'll tell you, based on the keyword you're trying to rank for, you know, did you mention the keyword enough? Here's some supporting keywords you may have missed. I'm a big fan of Surfer. You know, we just bought an account recently for all of our partners to share as well. I'm just a big fan of Surfer. Claude, I've been really kind of falling in love with Claude.ai recently. I think their AI is pretty impressive. On that same token, ChatGPT, I pay for that. We use that in all sorts of different ways in our business. Grok, I've been messing around with a little bit. That one's a little more interesting. You can kind of have some fun with Grok if you want to. Koala Writer is something I've been recently like looking into a little bit with, you know, Matt. Shout out to Matt Kemkow. Jasper is one that's been around for a long time. I use originality.ai to pull content in there and make sure, you know, if you have someone write for you, you should pull it in there and see if originality.ai thinks that this was written by a human or was written by AI, because Google probably looks the same sort of way. I could probably name like 15 more. I do think in like a couple of years, half of these won't be around, if I'm honest with you. I think there'll be like a, you know, a 2000.com moment here for AI at some point, where 99% of these go to zero, and there'll be a few winners, and maybe they don't even exist yet. But right now, those are the tools that I'm using. Is there any AI tools that you've been using recently for, or even for a while, for SEO, John?
Yeah, I think you just mentioned a couple of them for sure. I think, definitely originality.io or a plagiarism checker as well. Like if you're outsourcing, like just that, making sure somebody's not, whether it's using AI or just they're intentionally doing it, having a plagiarism checker to make sure that it's original work, because Google doesn't want duplicated content, right?
Is that like copy.ai? Is that what that is?
No, copy.ai is like Jasper. That's just another, that's one of the more original AI based copy tools to put out content, copywriting, sorry. Like Turnitin is kind of like the academic version. There's another one which Turnitin.com. There is another one which escapes
my mind. It's like Grammarly has one too. Do you use Grammarly?
Grammarly has one. I'm a big fan. I use Grammarly, yeah. Hemingway. Hemingway is a good little tool to help you express if you're writing and you're not somebody who's particularly fantastic at writing, which most people are not. Actually, Hemingway is a good little tool to help you, get your writing a bit more on point from a quality perspective and an understand, like allowing people to understand what you're trying to express more easily. But yes, Grammarly does have a plagiarism checker, and I do use Grammarly just for, you know, helping me get my grammar right when I'm writing anything. But look, I would say as well, like outsourcing your content work is also, like, I mean, it's not an AI tool, but I'd be remiss if I didn't plug that here. Like, I mean, if you're somebody who needs to put together a bit of content for your site to take advantage of keywords and things like that, like, yep, there's lots of tools that can help you, but you probably also need the help of people as well. As a business owner, you shouldn't be sitting there writing a content piece of content, generally speaking. There are many people out there who can help you do that. You know, whether you get them to use AI to help them with that, that's whatever that might be. But you're probably going to need to outsource some of this from time to time. And so if people are looking to go and outsource people who can write content reasonably well, I'd recommend problogger.com. That's the tool I use to hire people to help me with content production for SEO purposes. And it's not that hard to find people who have experience in your niche or your industry, writing about the sorts of products that you sell. It's also not hard to find people who understand at least basic SEO principles as well. So like if you give them a keyword and say, hey, I want to have this keyword in my piece of content, you know, in these ways, like, or a set of keywords, they're going to understand how to put that together for you in at least the way that's going to be close. You probably still need to do your own checks and everything, but That's the platform I use for if I want to go and hire a writer for this type of stuff.
Well, just to wrap it up, my five favorite tools for SEO, Google.com. Literally Google.com. Pair that with Keywords Everywhere / SEO Minion, AnswerThePublic.com. Your Google Shopping ads are a wonderful resource for you, as well as Ahrefs and then all of the AI tools that we mentioned here at the end. So bottom line is just start doing. Like, I would rather have you go put out 10 articles using none of these things and then wait to see what Google thinks of them and like learn from that. Did Google like them? Did Google not like them? What can I do? And, you know, John mentioned it before, so I'll mention it again. I poured my heart and soul into quite a few modules in our course. There's still more to come, in fact, that I need to get done. It's literally step by step on my process working through this stuff on how to think through the keyword research, how to apply that to products, to collection pages, and coming soon to blogs and building the clusters, and building links. There's a lot to this process, but it's not as hard as you think. In fact, it's just a step by step process and really just kind of making sure everything is present on the page that needs to be there. So you want to learn that stuff, hop inside dropshipbreakthrough.com or book a call with our team. They'd love to talk to you about it as well. Dropshipbreakthrough.com/call. And yeah, get started on your SEO. Thanks for listening to the Dropship Podcast. You can find all the show notes for this episode at dropshippodcast.com. And if you're ready to take the next step in your dropshipping journey, we invite you to join us inside Dropship Breakthrough, where John and I will walk you through step-by-step in starting your own high-ticket dropshipping e-commerce business. But that's not all. Dropship Breakthrough will also teach you everything you'll need to know to grow your business and take it to the next level. So head over to dropshipbreakthrough.com and sign up for our free training that will help you take the first steps towards building and growing your own profitable high-ticket dropshipping business. John and I both love business, think about it all the time, can't turn it off, and don't know why anyone would want to. And because of that, we started a second podcast where we can talk about everything we've ever wanted to talk about in business. Not just dropshipping. We like talking about all things business. So if you want to hear John and I talk about all sorts of stuff, from camel meat dropshipping businesses to PDF dropshipping to a guy gambling $100 every single day on YouTube Shorts to how OnlyFans taught us lessons in business, we're all over the place over there, but it's a really fun podcast. So if you're a podcast listener, you love John and I, head over to your podcast player of choice and look for the Low Bar Podcast. You'll see a blue image and you'll see a cartoon version of John and myself. And go back and start at episode one. I promise you will not regret this. This is one of the more fun projects that I have done recently. I know John's having fun too, so we'd love it if you joined us. Check out the Low Bar Podcast on YouTube or wherever you prefer to listen to podcasts.